Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Himes, and it's our privilege to be here at American Outdoor Equipment. We're in Rockwood this evening, and we'll tell you more about that. Of course, you can see all they could do for you. No, first and foremost, they are your East Tennessee Branson dealer, and so you can check them out at AmericanOutdoorEquipment.com, and if you buy now, get $1,000 in Christmas cash when you buy your Branson tractor. But since we had Doc jump in and answer the question and then depart the fast lane, what we will do is we will view this as the person in front of you in line that says, hey, I'm picking up the car behind me. So what we have is a $25 gift card to Edwin Watts Golf, and all you have to do is be caller number 5 at 865-656-WINS. Caller number 5, 865-656-9485, and you will be on your way. Let me make sure that's it, 9467. So 9467. Caller number 5, 9467, 865-656, 9467, and you will be the winner of the gift card that was up for grabs with our Sports Fix at 6.
That's right, home of the 90-day, 100% satisfaction guarantee, Edwin Watts Golf Store, located in Knoxville, the pinnacle of Turkey Creek, 11364 Parkside Drive. Visit them online, worldwidegolfshops.com.
And we jump to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we turn our attention to the rule book. And to help us do that, as he does each Monday throughout the season, is SEC replay official Gerald Hodges. His appearance brought to you by A.G. Hines Company, providing building materials since anyone can remember. Gerald, how are you?
Doing well, John. Vince, how are you?
Doing quite well. Always a lot of fun. And if you have a question or comment for Gerald about something you saw in the championship games this weekend, feel free to join us, 865-656. Hit me with 656-9900. That's 865-656-9900. You can also use that number to text the show. But, Gerald, what is it like when you get that honor of calling a conference championship game?
Well, John, that is other than maybe.
We just lost Gerald, so we'll get connected with him, and then we'll do that. But again, 865-656-9900 is how you join the conversation, and we hopefully will get it lined up. Vince, there were some interesting moments, as there always are anytime you have games, especially those that are under the microscope, as so much was on the line in so many of this weekend's conference title matchups.
Yeah, controversy definitely at the end of that Big 12 championship game, and not only in terms of the officiating calls, but in strategy as well, because you make one decision or you get one call, now you have to alter the direction of what you might plan to do, whether it's your play call or decision to go for it on fourth down, those kind of things.
All right, so Gerald back with us. And Gerald, first you were saying what an honor it is when you draw the assignment, whether it be the crew on the field or as the replay official, to work a conference title game.
That's correct, because especially, John, in the SEC, that's probably one of the most important games of the year. There are obviously some more, but that's the climax of the whole season for the two teams that are in it, and there's a lot on the line for the winner and loser. So other than the college football playoff, that's about as good as it gets, and it's an honor to be selected to do one of those.
I do want to go to one instance where it was a play at the goal line. In fact, it was a couple of plays that were right at the goal line. And it looked like at one point the running back, and this was from an overhead shot. It wasn't one of those that's down the line. So I know the overhead shot, one of the things that you can't really get a feel for is whether or not a knee is down or a body part that would make this reach across the goal line something that would be a touchdown. You need something to corroborate that from the, I guess, ground level or perhaps the pylon cam. But I'm just wondering, what do you think in terms of the overhead shot? Is that useful for you, or has it been in your time as a replay official?
It has in just a few instances, because like you said, you're talking about basically the sky cam where it's looking straight down. That will help you tell if the ball breaks the plane. But from looking above, you lose all perspective of where the knee is. And as you know, we can piece together a couple different views, and that's something that's been very helpful to us. Pylon cameras, a lot of times, if they're snapping inside the even the five, you're going to get blocked out coming from either side. Hopefully they have a cart cam, although quite a few of the stadiums in the SEC anymore won't let them use a cart cam, which is elevated, you know, at least over the officials in the linesman's head to see the goal line. But we do our best with putting together a couple shots. Breakaways are no problem, but the pylon are just wonderful for that. If there's a breakaway and there's nobody in the way, and it always happens that you have a knee down and the ball is or isn't across the goal line. When I had the championship game in 2016, that was CBS's first game ever with pylon cameras. And it was kind of neat because I got to meet the president of CBS Sports. He flew down from New York to be there for the game to see it. And we had zero official stops in the game. So Commissioner wow. Sankey stuck his head in the booth on the way out, and he said, "Well, that's the way y'all have a replay." And I said, "You're right, but those don't happen very often." So, but there were four or five plays in that game that had we not had the pylons, we would have gone to review and hope we had some shots that we could piece together. But when they show up like that, it's just night and day. So that really helps.
Let's go to the phones and get a call from Lance, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Lance.
Hey, doing, guys?
Hey, Lance.
This ain't from this week. Hey, man. Hey, this is from last week. I'd like to know the rules. So TCU, last second against Baylor, they ran the ball, and then they bring the field goal kicking unit onto the field last second. Does Baylor not have an opportunity to – should they not have stopped that and made have Baylor able to put their field goal kicking defense unit in?
We talked about that the next Monday, and the rule states that if the rule states that if the offense substitutes, the defense does have the opportunity, will get the opportunity to match up with the substitutions, and they're to hold the snap, keep them from snapping. And John and Jimmy and I talked about it. What, of course, it's in the heat of the moment, but the defense ran their players out on the field in a big hurry, and had they just kind of not walked, can't walk, we went through the rule on it. But if they had jogged out there, there's a good chance the ball never would have gotten snapped because they were out of timeouts and they did not make a first down.
Right. I just assume when it happens in a regular during the game, what happens, I've always seen, if the offense brings her people out, the referee will go up there no matter what and see if the defense is going to do it. Now, that's during the game, so I assume if it's during the game, it should be done at the last plays of the game. So, in other words, TCU should have two losses right now.
Probably. But that is the way the rule. Yeah, that's of course they could have missed the field goal too. But anyway, that's the way the rule reads. And and then also we actually read it on the air. But the other thing it does say, and as we talked about, they're probably going to have to tighten that rule up a little bit, Lance, because on the last statement it just says the defense, you know, shall make the substitution in a timely manner. Well, there's no hard fast number, and I think they're going to have to put that on there because timely is in the eyes of the beholder, as we found out a couple times this year. They kind of very slowly.
The weekend.
Yeah,
I've noticed over the weekend the referee would go and set, and the offense would have to call timeout because they were running out of time. So to me, TCU should not have been allowed to kick the field goal, and they should have another loss. So anyway, I missed that call, and it's just been in the back of my head, and I thought that was a rule. But anyway, I appreciate everything, guys.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Lance. Vince, you've been watching the video of that play.
Yeah.
What stands out to you?
Well, it's that the officials already spotted the ball and gotten out of the way when there's a bunch of players still running on and off the field. Aren't the substitutions need to be done before you spot the play the ball ready for play?
That's true. The defense does have a chance to line up in a, you know, in formation. And the other thing is that the center judge who is over the ball is supposed to have a chance to get back into his position before the ready for play is made.
Right.
Now, that doesn't stop the clock. That's, you know, that's right. So I don't think in that case either one happened. But, you know.
Yeah, and that's my biggest – I'm sorry, Joe. And that's my biggest thing with the end, and might have been what the caller was alluding to, is we see this a lot of times in these rush situations at the end of games. The procedures seem to change. The teams are in a hurry, so thus the officials are in a hurry, and that is thus officiated differently than the rest of the game. That's where a lot of people have the problem. You see both of the officials, the center judge and the one that spots the ball, both of them drop the ball and then just get out of the way and hurry back to their position. When that ball was ready for play, it's 10 seconds now and they're running out of the way. There's still six extra TCU players running off the field, still on the field, but yet the ball was already spotted ready for play, and that's with 10 seconds to go. So that's where it bugs me is – you just drop the ball and get out of the way because everybody's in a hurry.
The pace is not supposed to change according to the clock.
Right.
And that is, that's in the mechanics book, which is how to do things. The officials should put the ball in play promptly, but not hurry. I mean, it's kind of that wording. And it sounds like in that case they were scrambling, but, you know.
Yeah.
Our guest is Gerald Hodges, SEC replay official. His appearance brought to you by A.G. Hines Company. We've got more coming your way on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. Today we're at American Outdoor Equipment in Rockwood, and they, of course, have some deals going on for you right now. They are your East Tennessee Branson dealer, and when you're talking about Branson, of course, you're talking about just incredible strength. It runs through the entire line, and they're powered by Cummins diesel engines, and if you buy your Branson tractor right now, not only is it strength, but it's also quality. So that's the greatest assets through the entire line. If you buy your Branson tractor now, get $1,000 in Christmas cash. And not only do they have that deal going on, but they are also, they've got the all-terrain vehicles that are brought to you by High Sun Motors. And so the Sector right now is up for grabs. You buy a Sector now. They've got the Sector, which is street legal, comes with roof, windshield, four-wheel drive, blinker, brake lights, and horn. You buy a Sector right now from High Sun here at American Outdoor Equipment. Get $500 in Christmas cash. So you can check it out for yourself at AmericanOutdoorEquipment.com. Our guest, Gerald Hodges, and why don't we go ahead and jump right back to the phones, and we invite you to join us, 865-656-9900. Let's go now to Dwayne. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Dwayne.
Hi, guys. My question concerns the K-State TCU game, where it initially was called a safety, and then they reviewed it and said that the quarterback's arm was going forward, in which I don't have a problem with that, but the ball never left his hand and went backwards. So does that not make it a lateral?
That's a good one, too, because I was watching the same thing. And the way the rule reads strictly, is that if the hand is coming forward with control of the ball, it is considered a forward pass. And that is one rule I'll bet you gets clarified this year, because it looked to me like the defender basically took the ball out of his hand as it was coming forward. So, you know, to me it was a fumble. But by the strictest interpretation of the rule, as bad as it looked, I think they got it right according to the rule. But I think the rule needs some tweaking, because the ball never hit the ground, or, you know, they just basically kind of took it out of his hand and it ended up on the ground, I guess.
Yeah, and my interpretation would have been that it was a lateral because it went backwards.
Well, now once the ball starts forward, you can actually have a forward pass that ends up backwards. I had one at LSU one time. Of course, there's a lot further between the hand and where the ball ended up. And it was really strange. And but when the ball came out of his hand, it was going forward and it ended up behind it, which made it a forward pass and an incomplete pass. So, but that one was really interesting, because it's like he took the ball right out of the passer's hand, although it had started forward. I thought he was getting ready to start to pull it back when he, you know, and even at that, if he goes forward and starts back with it, unless he actually gets it back, then it's still a forward pass. Now, if he's bringing it on the way back and it comes out, obviously it's a fumble. So, yeah, that's one that I think will get a little discussion in the Rules Committee this winter.
All right, thanks.
Dwayne, right. Sure do appreciate it.
In fact, my old buddy Bill Lamagne was in the booth for that game, and he and I both agreed, but we were both wrong. So, you
know. did want to ask you this one. We saw this. It was actually in last night's NFL game, and I'm just asking you how this would be ruled, if any, differently in college. So you have the Cowboys, and this was before they exploded for like 33 points in the fourth quarter, but it looked like that the Colts had made an interception. So that's how the play, and it was allowed to go on. So it looked like that a Colt defensive back made an interception, got up, ran with it, and as he started his return, there was a blindside block that took place, and that drew a flag. So as they went after it, and I was really surprised the Colts didn't challenge, because it wound up being ruled on the field an incomplete pass. And so if I were the Colts, I would have challenged, because I thought the guy had his hands underneath the ball. But anyhow, it was ruled an incomplete pass. There was no challenge. But since there was a penalty on the return, that stood. And so there was no interception, but a penalty was allowed on the interception return for a return that was disallowed. So would that have stayed would that call have been enforced the same way in college, Gerald?
Yes, it would have. Yeah, the blindside block would, if they ruled it an incomplete pass, and then, you know, even though he's running with it, and that's a kind of quirk in the rules, but that's exactly right. That brings it back to where the ball was dead, and then the foul occurred after the ball was dead. So then you could have an incomplete pass, and then you have a dead ball foul, and it would go back to the passing, you know, the offense, with a 15-yard penalty against the defense.
Okay, and if on challenge that it had been ruled an interception, then it would probably have been a 15-yard penalty. Would the ball have changed possessions, but then there would still be the 15-yard penalty from the spot of the foul?
That's correct. Yeah, that would be considered during the run back. So that goes from the spot of the foul, which obviously the run back is going to be like further upfield. So you would go back to the spot of the foul and then penalize 15 from there, and then the intercepting team would keep the ball. But if it was an incomplete pass, you're going to go back to the original line of scrimmage and then penalize 15. And, of course, it's an automatic first also.
Okay. And then saw another one, and this was also an NFL game. But it was just another play to add to the remarkable reel that is Patrick Mahomes. But he runs, I think it's fourth and three or fourth and goal from the three, and he runs past the line. He goes airborne, And as he reaches the ball over the goal line, the ball comes out almost immediately. But it was in his hand, in control, at the time he broke the plane. But as he never landed on the ground with the ball. The ball came out of his hand. But it was ruled a touchdown because he had control of the ball as he broke the plane, and he was a runner. So in that instance, do you agree with the ruling? Because many people on Twitter were saying it should have been a fumble. But my guess is that as soon as he goes airborne and the ball in control in his hand breaks the play is over.
That's correct. If the ball is dead, the minute it touches that invisible plane on the front edge of the goal line. Now, had he been reaching to catch a pass airborne, then when he hits the ground, he has to survive the ground. But if he is a runner and leaps and breaks the plane, then that is the ball is immediately dead. In other words, he couldn't fumble it once it crossed the goal line in possession. Yeah, that's exactly right.
It essentially looked like, Gerald, that he had dunked the goal line. But anyhow, it was just another that you can add to the impressive reel. Yes. Let's go next to JJ. Oh, yeah. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, JJ.
Pleasure to talk to you again, my old friend, John. How you doing?
Oh, doing well. So good to hear from you.
Well, good. I still stay with you there. Guys, Vince, if you'll let me toot my own horn for a minute. I go back to the mid-90s where my neighbors asked if I was locked out of my house listening to John and Mike Keith and WNOX 990. So it's a pleasure to talk to all you guys. What really compelled me to call you today, John, was the Burks hit yesterday. I played a lot of football outside. I mean, I played up to the midget level. Of course, we never did this thing. Not since Jack Tatum had I ever really seen it before. But this launching stuff, I mean, it's like a kamikaze type thing. It's evolved since Jack Tatum little by little. And with CTE, and I was almost moved to being upset yesterday at Burks taking such a shoulder to the face on that touchdown. And I just wonder, and with you, Mr. Hodge, are they evolving in any kind of way to – when I was playing football in the yard, I had two choices, to try to bat the ball out and intercept it, or when he come down with it, I'd put my arms around his waist or his shoulders and wrestled him to the ground. I didn't launch with my shoulder as a projectile. And even though I know gladiators, we want to see that. Some people want to see that like a NASCAR race. If the game's going to survive and not go to flag football, they're going to have to learn to just let a guy come down. If you can't intercept it or break it up, tackle him when he hits the ground. Because this stuff, that yesterday was very upsetting in Burks.
I didn't get to see that one, but that is a problem, JJ, they are well aware of. And they're working on it. Actually, I had some in the season, just a couple of things. They changed the rule a little bit on targeting. That's helped this year. But targeting is down to where you're having just one targeting in force. Now, there's some call because the officials on the field are told to call. But the one targeting enforced in almost six games, and that's the lowest it's been in 5 years. And it is getting better. But every so often you'll see somebody just either forgets or doesn't care, and then you'll see a really bad lick like that.
Well, I'm sure Vince remembers just the other night, maybe a couple of nights ago, there was a game I was watching. I can't remember. Absolute pinpoint, one of the most perfect tackles I ever seen. Initially called targeting, but when you seen it, was a complete shoulder. It's just a magnitude. I just wish to preserve the game. They would sort of start, graduating our kids into let them come down and tackle them, because I know an older guy that said by letting them guys use their shoulders as launch is like letting boxers take brass knucks inside the ring with their books if he's an older official. But anyway, John, great to talk to you again, buddy. And thank you so much for your time to let me talk to you today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
JJ, great to hear from you. But what we'll do is we'll grab a quick break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. And again, we say thank you to American Outdoor Equipment for having us out today. You can see all they can do for you, all they have to offer at AmericanOutdoorEquipment.com. This is 99.1, the sports animal.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara, our guest Gerald Hodges, and Vince, a little news in regards to the Heisman.
Yeah, I heard it was going to go down at this time, and it has. Heisman finalist USC quarterback Caleb Williams, TCU quarterback Max Duggan, Ohio State quarterback CJ Stroud, Georgia quarterback Stetson Bennett. That means no Hendon Hooker.
That's just wrong.
A lot of us agree that is wrong and ridiculous. He was the best player in college football for a good part of it until things didn't go great, obviously, in the South Carolina game, and then missed the final game.
You have a question for Gerald?
I do. Gerald, you mentioned that how the pylons can really help you guys in being able to see replays and stuff. Is there anything else in terms of officiating or resources the networks can get you? Anything like that can really help officiating, in your opinion?
It's really the pylons, and they're getting the Skycam can help some quite a bit. But obviously the biggest thing coming along, this been around a while now, was just high definition. That was the biggest, breakthrough in replay that we had come along and in the pylons. But yeah, with the pylons and then a cart cam, I think they've gotten, tool-wise, I mean, you're limited. It's still a two-dimensional picture until they figure out somebody to get 3D involved in it. I think it's really in pretty good shape right now as far as the equipment and the technology.
And Gerald, super quick, like 20, 30 seconds, what do officials, replay officials, general officials, think about the rules experts on TV broadcasts these days?
Well, they're there to help them understand the rules. We don't have any problem with it. I know most of them, and they really do a good job, and there are just some little quirks of things. We study rules every week, and, of course, the guys on TV now are kind of, have been out of it for a little while. But, we don't have any problem with that at all. They help explain things where the officials on the field obviously can't during the game. So,
right.
But they do a good job. They really do.
Well, Gerald, as always, we sure do appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us once again, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Good. Y'all be good. Have a good day.
All right. See you, Gerald. As well. So, Gerald Hodges, his appearance brought to you by A.G. Hines Company, providing building materials since anyone can remember, and do appreciate all the questions that came our way. We also want to say a big thank you to American Outdoor Equipment for having us here today. Remember, buy your Branson tractor now, get $1,000 in Christmas cash. Buy your Hisun Sector ATV, get $500 Christmas cash. Check it out for yourself at AmericanOutdoorEquipment.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.